And if you have your Bible this morning, you can turn with us to John chapter number 3. Gospel of John chapter 3 this morning. And we'll be there in a few moments. John chapter number 3 this morning. Of course, John chapter 3, perhaps one of, if not the most well-known Bible passages, and perhaps the verse we're going to look at this morning, you can even recite, quote, from memory, John chapter number 3 this morning, and notice there if you would. John chapter 3, and notice if you would there, verse number 16. The Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'd like to preach to you from that first part of the verse this morning, chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world," I'd like to preach just this thought: somebody loves you. Somebody loves you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Lord, now we just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help me to deliver the message this morning in a clear, understandable way. And Lord, this morning, if there be someone here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, they don't know beyond any shadow of doubt if they were to leave this church and step into eternity and stand before you, and you were to ask them why they should be led into heaven and they don't have an answer. Lord, may today they realize that somebody loves them. May they realize that you sent your Son because you loved them. And the Lord, help them realize there's a church here, a people here that love them, and I want them to know for sure that Christ is their Savior, that heaven is their home. Now, Father, just help me to say that which needs to be said. Help me to refrain from that which needs not be said. And, Lord, may the message this morning just be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you and we need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. John 3:16, again, is without a doubt the most well-known, best-known Bible verse in all Scripture. When you think about this verse this morning, it has no doubt brought comfort. It's no doubt brought hope to millions, perhaps even billions of people, and contains for us a very important message for you and I today. Now, at its very core, at its very center, this verse tells us about salvation. And salvation, just very simply, is the means by which God rescues the perishing and gives everlasting life to all who believe its message. Notice it again there, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In my Bible, I have it underlined, and I have the note next to the verse that says, "The greatest verse in the Bible." The greatest verse in the Bible, because it does indeed tell us how a person can be saved, how they can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to see this morning just a breakdown of this verse. It starts off with those two little words, "for God." For God. The message of salvation begins and ends with God. This morning in Sunday school, we began looking at the creation account there in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." And we said that's a very important principle. In fact, take your Bibles, it's not on the screen, but to go over Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to notice there verse number 1. And the first four words of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. As Christians and as a people, we would be very well suited to put that principle into practice. Always start with God. Each new day, each new week, each new month, each new year, we should begin with God. When you start a marriage, it should begin with God. When you start a new job, it should begin with God. You start a new career, God should be at the center. God should be first. God should be at the beginning. You say, why? Notice there, verse number 2. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But you notice there, it says about the earth, it was without form. It was void. It was empty. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. You see, before God created the world as we know it today, the Bible tells us that it was shapeless. It was empty. It was filled with darkness. It was barren. It had nothing of substance to it. And we compared that to you and I in our life before we had God, before we had the Lord Jesus Christ, before we had God, our life was without shape. Our life was empty. Our life was filled with darkness. It was barren. It was empty. But then the Lord, he moved upon us. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior this morning, and we were filled with his marvelous light. But we see here, the Bible says, for God. You and I this morning might be tempted to look at ourselves and say, well, what have I done? Or what can I do? But I want you to realize this morning, there is nothing you can do to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn heaven on your own. There's no amount of good works, no amount of praying, no amount of good deeds that you can do to earn heaven, because God wants you to know, and he wants to draw our attention to what he has done for us. He's already done it all. He's already done everything by sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. And so we see it begins with God. It ends with God, for God. But not only that, we see the second part of it, for God so loved. For God so loved. What could move, and think about this morning, what could move an all-powerful God to take an interest in what happens to you and what happens to me? I mean, you think about it in the grand scheme of things, God, the all-powerful creator of this universe, I mean, you think about it, we're about yay big when it comes to how mighty and how powerful and how great God is. But here this morning, we discover a wonderful thing about God. And that wonderful thing about God is this. He loves us. He loves you. If you're here this morning, and maybe at times in your life you feel like nobody loves me, and maybe at times in your life you have been unlovable, but I want you to realize this morning there is one here this morning that loves you. God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, where you've been, where you're going. You're here this morning. God loves you. He loves us. And listen this morning, even though we have rebelled against our Creator, his love has provided the way of salvation. And all we have to do is put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's already done it. There's nothing we can do. And listen, there's nothing you have to do. After you get saved, listen, you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to give money to the offering. You don't have to, all these things. You don't have to do any of them. You'll do them because you love him and because we realize there are things that now as Christians we ought to do. But you think about this morning, the thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom, and the Lord and Jesus hanging there on the cross, he said, what? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That thief didn't have a chance to be baptized, do good works, give to the church, become a member. No, he just put his faith, his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. The only requirement for salvation this morning is faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you and I can, you know, because we're a boastful people, aren't we? You know, we do something and we accomplish something and we say, well, look at what I've done. But you know what? With our salvation, it's not look at what I've done. It's look at what he's done. And look at what God has done. And that's where it needs to be. And he has, his love this morning has provided the way of salvation. For God so loved, what did he love? The world. For God so loved the world. Listen this morning, God's love extends to everybody. God's love extends to everyone. I want you to know this morning, there's no one too young. There's no one too old. There's no one too rich. There's no one too poor. There's no one too exceptional. There's no one too ordinary to receive his love. It doesn't matter where you are in the stage called life. If you're here this morning, God has extended his love to you. The Bible here says he so loved the world. His love reaches around the globe to find you right where you are. You know, so oftentimes we say, well, we'll come to church when I turn over a new leaf. Or I'll come to church when I clean up my act. Listen, this morning, if you're waiting to clean up your own act, if you're waiting to turn over your own leaf, you're never going to come to church. Because you can't turn over your own leaf. You can't clean up your own act. You can't do any of that thing. Only God can do those things. And you'd find that grace and that mercy, that love in a church is like this. He finds you right where you are. But praise the Lord this morning, he finds you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. We sing the song, he lifted me. He takes us from the sinking sand, from the miry clay. He lifts us up out of that sinking sand and he sets us, the Bible says, on solid ground, on solid rock. And he puts us there on a firm foundation. So that we never have to worry about that sin anymore. For God so loved the world. His love extends to everybody. There's a false doctrine out there called Calvinism that teaches, well, God, he chooses who goes to heaven. He chooses who goes to hell. Last time I checked and I read my Bible here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Who's in the world? Everybody. Not just a select few. His love extends to everybody. But so now he loved. It begins with God. He loved. He loved the world. He loves you and me. But what did he do? For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. You see, this morning, giving gifts is just a natural expression of love. Now, while our giving is always limited by our resources, God is able to give us blessings of infinite and never-ending value. He's able this morning, the Bible tells us, to give us exceeding more than we ever could imagine. The Bible tells us in John that greater love hath this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. There's nothing more you can do for somebody than to lay down your life for them, than to give your life for them. And the Lord Jesus Christ did just that when he went to the cross. He gave his life. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. Here we find the first of two gifts mentioned in this verse. The first gift, Jesus, the eternal Son of God. The Bible tells us here, came to earth, born as a baby, was given the name Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. His miraculous arrival of course, we know, fulfilled many ancient prophecies, one of which says, "Unto us a son is given who will be called Mighty God and bring forth a kingdom characterized by justice and righteousness." Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You see, this morning, simply put, to enter God's holy kingdom, you and I must be perfectly righteous. But there's a problem. God knows our sinful hearts. And he declared to us in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You see, this morning, God's holiness demands that a price be paid for sin. This is why God gave his son to pay the price on our behalf. Because he knew that without him providing the way to salvation, you and I could never pay for that salvation. This is why God gave his son. You see, when Jesus laid down his life on the cross, bearing God's punishment for our sin, he opened the way for us to be made righteous. He then, the Bible tells us, rose from the dead on that third day, proving that God was pleased with his sacrifice. And so we see this morning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then we see this, that whosoever. You see, this morning, God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, again, it's offered to everyone. It's offered to everybody. You see, regardless of who we are or what we have done, Jesus has promised to receive us. John 6:37, the Bible tells us, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, this morning, God, the Bible tells us, is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That whosoever, you're here this morning, you don't know for sure that Jesus is your Savior. I got good news for you. You're a whosoever. You can be saved. You can trust Jesus as your Savior and know for sure that heaven's your home, that Christ is your Savior, that you're going to heaven someday. But not only that, that whosoever what? Believeth in him. That whosoever believeth in him. You see, believeth here means two things. First, we must believe what the Bible says about Jesus. We have to believe it. This means acknowledging who he is and what he has done. Romans 11:6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But it's deeper than just accepting facts about him. Because you see, a lot of people, they believe in Jesus with their head. But believing in Jesus with your head will not get you to heaven. Eventually, believing in Jesus has to move from the head to the heart. Because so many times and so many people, they're going to miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance between the head and the heart. You see, this morning, we must accept the belief spoken of here. It implies a total trust. You see, to receive salvation, we must lay aside any thoughts of our own worthiness and come to Jesus just as we are. We sing the old invitation hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea." That's how we need to come to him this morning. You see, when we rest our souls completely on his grace, trusting him alone for salvation, the Bible tells us our sins are washed away and we are clothed in his righteousness. Titus 3:5, the Bible tells us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Again, by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, this morning, it's already been taken care of. Jesus is already taking care of it. And so we see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You see here this morning, the Bible says and tells us that we are born in sin. Everybody here was born in sin. No fault of your own. The Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, by Adam's sin. Sin has now passed upon all men. And the Bible tells us, if we reject God's forgiveness, we will also not only have been born in sin, but we will die in that sin, separated from God forever. John 3:36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, this morning, I trust this morning you will turn to God so you will not perish. See, how do you know you won't perish? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But here's promise number two. But have everlasting life. But have everlasting life. See, this morning, everlasting life is the second great gift of God mentioned here in verse 16. And that includes more than we might even realize this morning. You see, not only does God bless those who trust in Jesus with never-ending joys in his presence for all eternity, but the Bible tells us he also fills their earthly lives with many wonderful blessings. We see that he forgives our sins and makes us brand new in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He makes us brand new in Jesus Christ. Not only that, we see he adopts us as his children and promises us an inheritance in his kingdom. Romans 8:15, the Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Not only that, he sends his spirit to dwell in us, giving us the ability to live a life that is pleasing to him. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The Bible says that then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." You see, this morning he promises to be with us through every storm of life. He promises to be with us through every difficulty of life, never leaving us and never letting us go. That's perhaps the best part of eternal life, that we sing the song, it's our theme for the year, never alone. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Romans 8:28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And then finally, John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here's the question this morning. You say, how can I have everlasting life? It's simple. When you receive God's Son, you receive everlasting life. It's as simple as that. This morning, you can't have one without the other. 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." John 1:12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You're here this morning, my only question is this. You don't know Christ as your Savior. You don't possess him this morning. Will you receive him today? Acts 16:31. Here it is. Here's how you can know that heaven's your home. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's all you have to do this morning, is believe on him. Ask him to come into your heart, to be your Savior, forgive you of your sins, so that you know Christ as your Savior. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.